Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 4. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. I'm joined today, sitting in for David Todd, is Alex Cazora on this Friday, a game day Friday for the Pittsburgh Steelers, their first preseason game of 2016 against the Detroit Lions tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern at Heinz Field. Alex, happy football Friday.
It's good to say those words again, isn't it, Dave?
It sure is. I went walking with my wife last night, and I said, you know, this is probably my favorite day of the entire year, you know, because I realize it's preseason, but, you know, it's kind of a rebirth. You get to watch a full game. You get to break down, you know, even though all 90 guys aren't going to play, a good probably, you know, 75 to 80 might. And we go through, we chart everything, and you know, it's just the start of a new season, and I really, really do look forward to it. And I assume you're in the same boat.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great to watch these guys, even knowing that things are probably going to be a little sloppy and it might be a little tough to grin and bear it sometimes. Football is back. It's great to watch some of these guys we've seen in camp and talked about so much actually, you know, make some plays in stadiums and really get a good feel for where some of these guys are at.
And we're going to preview the game a little bit in the second half of this show, but on Thursday – we kind of thought that, you know, might be a little bit, you know, news-wise a slow day, but boy, did that change in a hurry. It all kind of started with a little something I think Ed Bouchette wrote Thursday morning, talking about, you know, did the Steelers make a mistake in signing Ladarius Green to a 4-year, $20 million contract? Will he ever get on the field, you know, with this ankle injury? You know, teammates are supposedly rolling their eyes at Ladarius not being able to get on the field. And then not long after that, Aditi Kinkabwala of the NFL Network had a report stating that Ladarius Green's ankle isn't what's keeping him on PUP and off the practice field. Instead, it's apparently some reoccurring headaches that he's been having. One would think dating back to the 3 concussions that he had in a 10-month span, starting with the first one late in 2014, and then 2 more at the beginning of last season. And, you know, he kind of, when he signed with the Steelers, he kind of pawned it off as a sinus problem, that he didn't have a concussion. Fast forward to now, you know, he obviously had ankle surgery during the offseason. That's been the big thing that most of us have thought has kept him off the field. In fact, to hear Kevin Colbert talk in recent interviews in the last few weeks, Ladarius Green has been on schedule. They're not concerned about the ankle, yada yada. Of course, he never mentioned the headaches. And then this breaks on Thursday about the headaches with Aditi. And then late last night, Thursday night, Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that the Steelers had no idea that Ladarius Green was having reoccurring headaches. And kind of that's where we are today. And obviously, the Steelers could quite possibly, you know, let's end it right there, and we'll pick up on the next part after. But your initial thoughts on that news up until now?
Yeah, obviously it's very concerning anytime you have the word concussion, and we know about Ladarius Green's, you know, concussion history. It's really serious, and, you know, I've heard some stories about how serious it was last year, and yeah, I mean, you know, 3 concussions in the last 10 months, like you had mentioned, Dave. You know, it's hard to grasp, though, exactly how true everything is. You know, I have a lot of different thoughts. There's a lot of conflicting reports between local media and national media, and then things that I've seen with my own 2 eyes at training camp. So, you know, I think the whole Bell situation reminds us to be a little careful of our initial reaction to news. There's always different sides to the story, but obviously it's a big concern.
That's why when we write something up like this, we always use the word report followed by a what's that called? A semicolon?
Yeah, a colon.
A colon. Because of the fact that it's a report, you know, mm-hmm. and we lay out who, you know, what the report is, who the report's from, and we kind of mix in some soft, you know, initial thoughts on the matter. But something like this, it's tough to jump to the long-term conclusion, which one Mike Florio of Pro Football Talks are never afraid to do. He's already talking about Ladarius Green possibly retiring. He's talking about the Steelers cutting Ladarius Green. Both of those are indeed, you know, knowing what we know right now, both of those scenarios are indeed plausible. However, comma, as I like to say, it's a little kind of early on that. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about and write about. What the salary cap repercussions and how the Steelers could quite possibly go after the signing bonus they gave him if he failed to disclose that he was having headaches and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is there's so much that we don't know right now, and because of that, it'll be interesting to see if Mike Tomlin is going to be asked about this after Friday night's preseason game, how he responds to this and how quickly the Steelers either try to confirm or deny or handle all this, correct?
Correct, yeah. Well, Tomlin is very close to the vest with injury stuff, so, you know, I don't know how much he's going to say, but he's going to have to provide some sort of comment on it and at least acknowledge, I guess, whether or not the Green's dealing with a concussion issue or not. I mean, if you fly out deny it, and then it is true, that's a pretty bad look for Mike Tomlin. So we'll see. I'm just trying to figure out the timeline of it all, though, because I've seen Green at camp every single day, and just last Saturday he had his most aggressive day working out. It's out there. It's in the sun. It's in the hot Latrobe weather. It would be odd to me that unless he just wasn't telling anybody about it, that he was dealing with these headaches and the team was making him work out in the bright, hot, you know, Latrobe weather. It just doesn't seem like it seems very counterintuitive. And I know that part of working your way back from any sort of concussion is you have to go through some exercise and then you see how your body responds after exertion. But if he's in the moment of a concussion problem, the last thing you want him to do is to exercise and go out there and push his body even farther. It's about rest and staying out of the light and kind of all those things that trigger it. So, you know, it just, like I said, the things that I've seen in some of the reports, they seem to conflict and they just leave me a little more confused.
Now, of course, you have he's supposedly in concussion protocol right now, and one would think has been in that for a little while. You know, maybe they're getting out there to see if he can have some exertion, to see how he responds to the exertion, to see if the headaches continue. That would make sense, though, right?
Yeah, again, that's part of the equation, but if he's, like, waking up with a headache, I don't know if, you know, it's, I mean, every single day. It's not like there's days where he hasn't been out there. Maybe there was one where he wasn't, and not every day has been as aggressive as last Saturday, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not the doctor here. I don't know what the protocol exactly calls for. I don't know exactly what's going on, obviously, but it just seems a little strange to me for a guy that's apparently having some still serious symptoms from a concussion to work out like he's just dealing with an ankle injury.
Have you seen him do it in consecutive days?
Not to the level of what it was Saturday, and it has kind of been, you know, a more aggressive day than a lighter day. For example, last Saturday was a really aggressive day. The next day he did some light work, and then these joint practices, he really didn't do much of anything. That might be part of it. But I would think that if he works out and he's dealing with a headache, they're not going to put him back out onto the field to do any work and just to be out there in the sun and the heat of Latrobe. He's going to be off the field just trying to get his rest and, you know, in a nice, secluded, dark place. So I don't know. And just like, you know, Bouchette's article, which didn't mention concussion at all, which is, you know, just weird timing of it all. And then for Bouchette to say, and I'm not saying he's wrong, I'm just saying this adds to the confusion. But for him to say that the players were rolling their eyes at Green, which I guess implies that they're frustrated by his recovery. If Green's dealing with a concussion, I'm sure the word's gotten around that locker room about what he's going through. And so the last thing I would expect a player to do is roll their eyes at something so serious like a concussion. So it just none of these reports and what I've seen seem like they can coexist.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing. Of course, neither one of us are doctors. I just play one on Twitter occasionally, but there are a lot of missing gaps here. So,
Absolutely.
and then especially when you consider now, look, I mean, does Kevin Colbert have to say anything about headaches? No, but you would think, I if this is a headache issue, one would think it's been going on for more than just a week and a half, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is, I don't think it's something that's going to go away for months and then creep back up. I mean, it could. Concussions are very tricky and fickle, but it would feel like it's something that's been happening for a while now, which again would kind of reinforce the idea of he's been out there almost every single day getting some work in. If you have recurring, daily or every other day symptoms, why is he going through all this work and strenuous activity? It does not seem to coexist with what the stories are that are out there.
Now here's the thing. If it is indeed headaches like they're saying, and here we are, all these months later, since the season ended, this is concerning. This is very concerning if this report is true.
Oh yeah, no question about it. Melanie, our actual doctor for Steelers Depot, had compared it to the Javard Best situation that obviously ended his career. So if there are still symptoms months and months, 7+ months after his last concussion, yeah, that's a huge red flag, and you could be talking about some serious problems.
We could go further down the rabbit hole here. How is information like this leaking to a guy like Dulac? Not, I mean, look, we love it. We write about it. It gets traffic to the site. But I mean, that and the late, going back through the Le'Veon Bell leak about the appeal and the suspension. Is this concerning? You think it's concerning as far as the Steelers organization goes?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, every team ends up leaking out information. Obviously, when it's medical related, somebody's doing something they're legally not allowed to do, usually, especially on something like a concussion. I mean, I don't know exactly how the HIPAA laws apply, but it started out with the national media, and you just find somebody in the know. That's how the business works.
Yeah, but I mean, if this is coming from somebody on the team, they got to be shaking their head, right? Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I'm sure they're never happy about that, but I mean, it happens to every team. I mean, there's
Sure.
very few teams that are, that are able to really be under that kind of cloak. I mean, yeah, they're not happy, but I guess it was going to come up eventually if these reports are true.
Humans are horrible at keeping secrets.
Yeah, they love the gossip. There's no one loves the gossip more than.
All right. Obviously we'll have to watch this situation with Green. The Steelers have been working Jesse James, Xavier Grimble as number one, number two kind of tight ends. Also, you have David Johnson, who they signed back during the offseason. I thought you had an interesting statement on Twitter this morning. You can't miss what you never had. It's nice to think about what a guy like Ladarius Green could do in the offense, but let's make no mistake, and you and I have both pointed this out from day one. He's not a great blocker. He's not going to be a great blocker right now with all this time missed. What are the Steelers missing here?
Well, obviously they're missing a tremendous athlete and a guy that they counted on to be a big impact to of this offense. So obviously it's a big loss to this offense. I'm not trying to spin it, in that sense of it. The way that you can use him, split out the formation and to create some of these matchup problems with the size speed that he has. But as I tweeted about Dave, the number one goal of a tight end in this offense is still they have to be able to block and carry out basically every assignment as a blocker, defensive end and pass protection 1-on-1, combo blocks and zone blocking against defensive ends in the run game, base blocks against them in the run game, split zone plays, everything like that. So you have to be able to block first, and I think Jesse James is going to probably be a tick better blocker than what Ladarius Green is right now, and so you're not going to lose anything there in your most important role, while James is still going to give you kind of a Heath Miller-like asset as a receiver, probably a little better in the red zone, a little bit more of a vertical threat, Maybe he doesn't have the trust, or doesn't, definitely does not have the trust that Ben had with Heath Miller, so you lose a little bit there. But I think overall, you know, you still get a decent blocker, you know, and potentially good blocker. We'll have to take a close look at Jesse James, who can still be an asset in the passing game. So the bottom line is, I don't think, compared to last year, the offense, tight end speaking, does not change that often. You can still go in with your 12 personnel with David Johnson as an inline guy who can give you some really good blocking snaps there. So it's a blow to the offense, but it doesn't change it from last year. And obviously it was potent last year, so it can be potent this year still.
And the big X factor here is Mr. X himself, right? Xavier Grimble. I mean, this is a guy that could potentially be a Ladarius Green-like player.
That's the potential, but you know that's the elephant in the room is just that. You know, we'll see what he can do. I mean, I think best case scenario this year, you might get some situational stuff with him, some third and long where you can put him in some passing situations and to kind of mitigate some of those blocking, you know, concerns that we have. I think the biggest issue is just obviously the lack of depth now, because you have Jesse James, and then behind that you have David Johnson, who's a very niche guy, and Xavier Grimble, who's very much an unknown guy. So if something were to ever happen to Jesse James over this season, you're going to be in a world of trouble. So, you know, depth-wise, obviously, you've taken a big blow at this point. And if Jesse James, you know, underperforms or gets hurt or what have you, now your offense has become really limited.
Yeah, and all-around tight ends aren't usually – good ones aren't usually available during the final round of cuts. Now, there'll be one or two that maybe you know, are worth maybe looking at here in over the course of the next couple of weeks. But the reality of it is you probably already got better quality on your roster unless you trade for a guy. And, oh, Lord, could we – open up another rabbit hole talking about guys you could potentially trade for, right?
Yeah, I don't know if trade's going to be the route to go, because I think you're still going to get guys on the market that are good blockers, and I think if you're just trying to get a tight end, they can give you some snaps as a number two guy. It's going to be a blocker type, because, again, the one downside with David Johnson is that although he's a really good blocker, in terms of a lead blocker, he's better from that fullback spot. He doesn't have the height and the length to be able to carry out some of the assignments the Steelers are going to want him to do. That's why Matt Spaeth was so valuable to this team, because he was a 6'6", 6'7" guy who can match up against Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap and those kind of guys in the run game and in pass protection. So I think you can look for, you know, a bigger, you know, longer, taller guy on free agency to potentially come in, maybe to be your number three tight end if Xavier Grimble doesn't work out. You know, a couple of names that have come to mind. I might write about it later. You know, I want to see what happens with Ladarius Green before we start talking about life without Ladarius Green. But a Bear Pasco, who's in New England, I believe, right now, or a John Phillips or Craig Stevens.
Bear Pasco's already passed through Pittsburgh once, right?
They'd worked him out. Was he officially signed? I don't know if he was ever officially signed.
Keep talking.
I looked it up. I know in 2009 they worked him out. I don't recall him ever being signed, but I could be wrong. It might have been a brief thing. But he's a guy that's kind of become that blocker role. He's a bigger guy. I think he's like, I don't know, 6'5", 260 or something. And he can give you those blocking snaps. It's a guy that's played a lot of Sunday football, and you know that's not going to be foreign to him. So I think you can get a blocker in free agency after final cuts. I don't think you have to trade for one.
Yeah, I have him coming through Pittsburgh, never signing, though. Started his career with the 49ers in 2009. Giants in 2009, was with the Giants several years up until, 2014. Signed as an unrestricted free agent with the Atlanta Falcons. Then to the Bears, then to the Lions, and then now with the New England Patriots. So this is a guy that's been around for a number of years, bouncing around all over the place. So perhaps he's a name to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Levine Tolio. I don't know how to say his name, but the Falcons' big blocking tight end, that could be an option. I read an article today that he's on the bubble. He's like 6'8". He's a big guy. He actually played tackle for him, I think, last year or 2 years ago. They had a bunch of injuries one day, and he played right tackle for a quarter. So I think that's a guy that's a very Spaeth-like kind of player that would make sense.
And then don't forget, too, if a guy like Chris Hubbard makes the roster, you can always use a tackle out there, you know?
Back to the old Mike Adams days.
Yeah. The thing I hate the most about using a tackle there is it's almost like throwing your hands up and saying, well, you ain't got to worry about covering this guy, you know?
Right.
Of course, many people listening to this podcast will say, well, the same went for Matt Spaeth. You know? They just didn't. They probably could have thrown to Matt Spaeth more. They just chose not to. And plus, Matt Spaeth.
And for good reason.
Right, right. They just, and plus, they chose to keep him. Keep them in a lot of time too when they'd run a lot of 12 personnel. Really, really interested to watch a guy like Grimble, a guy that, you know, I've had to hear everybody talk about most of the offseason. Then I have to read and hear you talk about how he's done during training camp. One of the most intriguing guys, and it's very unfortunate that we're not going to have the all 22 from Friday night's game, but we should be able to see quite a bit on the TV tape to give us people who haven't seen Xavier Grimble a better idea maybe what a ceiling might be on him. So, you know, if he can become a kind of a second tier all around tight end, maybe he, you know, and a threat to line up, maybe split out wide occasionally as a pass catcher. Maybe they can overcome a potential loss of Green. Easier.
Yeah, maybe, but he better be able to prove himself as a blocker, because the best case scenario, he comes in as a number two, and you're going to play a lot of 12 personnel, and yeah, you might be able to move him around a little bit and run some play action and stuff you couldn't do with Matt Spaeth, but again, your number one job is to be able to block and hold the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. So, that, you know, it doesn't matter how many catches he makes. If he can't prove himself as a blocker, it's going to be tough to justify him being that number two tight end.
We should see Mike Tomlin talk the other day during his press conference. Was asked about Jesse James, and the obvious answer and predicted one. You know, Jesse James needs a lot of work during the preseason, he says, and I agree. You know, but with that said, yeah, I'm not sure I'm playing Jesse James past maybe a quarter and a half tonight, right?
Yeah, it just depends on the feel for things, but yeah, I'm not opposed to getting him more snaps. I mean, I guess the coaches will have the best feel for it. I mean, yeah, there's no second year guy on the planet who doesn't need work in the preseason. Everyone needs to get better and improve from where you were at year one. So I want to test his conditioning a little bit. I want to stress him, you know, see how he's at, see how much better he's really gotten, if that you know, lost weight has really helped out his conditioning or not. So I mean, I'll play him for a half. I have no problem with that.
I want to see a lot of 12 personnel with him and Xavier Grimble out there too. And yeah. then obviously you want to see some David Johnson on the end of the line of scrimmage as well too. Although I know how that, you know, I've already got that T-shirt for the most part from previous years. Do you remember the old David Paulson?
I tried not
old
to.
Old David Paulson, David Johnson, 12 personnel grouping. but with that said, I mean, they can overcome a potential loss of Green. Will it be tough? Would it be nice to have Green as opposed to not having him? Yes, but quite personally, I wasn't overly impressed with Ladarius Green as a blocker. So we'll keep our fingers crossed with this. Once again, we don't want to jump to any conclusions. And yes, as Mike Florio pointed out, the Steelers can potentially go after his signing bonus if he didn't declare all this. But I mean, you're talking about a grievance that might end up taking most of the season anyway, so it's not like you're going to save. I don't think his base salary this year was guaranteed. I think his signing bonus was, obviously, but I think it may have stopped there as far as guarantees go. So if they did have to cut a guy like Ladarius Green right now and then go after his signing bonus later, it's not like you're going to save a huge amount of money. You know, from a cap standpoint, it might be something you look for getting a credit later on during the year. So,
I was just going to say real quick, he hasn't retired yet. It's just a report. We don't know how true it is or not. It'd be surprising for me to watch a guy who just last week looked like he was real close to coming back, to suddenly retire in a week. You know, I understand the seriousness of concussions. I mean, I totally understand and totally advocate for all the concussion help and safety possible, and I know that they're difficult to detect, especially far away, but I mean, to go from, you know, looking great to almost retiring, it's just it's so quick, and it's very unusual.
In two weeks from now, we could be on this podcast talking about, boy, do you remember them talking and speculating how Ladarius Green was going to retire and the Steelers were going to cut him, and there he is suiting up for the third preseason game.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, so. Something to monitor, yes, and you know it'll be interesting to see what Mike Tomlin says after the game against the Lions. Which, oh, by the way, they're going to play football tonight, Alex. And
yeah, isn't that nice?
In case you didn't know, we obviously have a lot of content going up on Steelers Depot today, kind of previewing the game. Alex, I know you've already got a few things up there already. Look, we know who's probably going to play, who's not going to play. The key guys, what are you looking for overall from a 30,000-foot view of this game?
I mean, just try to play clean. If you're sloppy, it's hard to get good tape out there. It's hard to evaluate. Obviously, you're doing yourself a disservice. And Dave, you and I, and I'm sure the majority of people listening right now watched one, two, if not all, the preseason games yesterday, and it got really sloppy. You know, interceptions, fumbles, muff punts, block punts. You know, kickoffs that, you know, stupid penalties on kickoffs and punt returns and all that kind of stuff. You just got to play clean. You know, like Tomlin said, no turnovers. That means, you know, return guys, make good decisions. Don't be a hero. Running backs, don't put the ball on the ground. Wide receivers, you know, don't drop it. You know, don't try to outrun everybody. It's okay to kind of go down good and duck out of bounds sometimes and just get your gain. So from that standpoint, you know, that's what you want to see. You want to try to limit pressure. The Lions have a really good defensive line with a lot of depth. They're going to throw a lot of stunts and a lot of twists and run a lot of games at you. And obviously, you know, if your quarterback's under siege the entire time, it's going to be impossible to evaluate him and your receivers and kind of that whole offense. So, you know, I'm worried about that today. I think the second team and third team offensive line is going to have a lot of trouble in that regard. But if they can limit some of that pressure to a degree, it's going to be a whole lot easier to evaluate this offense.
I can't help myself but to venture over to try to watch Bill Belichick's post-game press conferences every time, as long as they don't coincide with a Steelers game. It's like a train wreck, like a car wreck that I know is coming that I can't turn my head away from. I have to watch it. I did that last night, and believe it or not, man, it took forever for Belichick to come to the microphone after that game ended, but he finally did. He was asked about certain things, and he said the thing that he liked last night quite a bit about the game against the Saints was the fact that there was a lot of situational football that wound up taking place. You know, third and longs, two-minute kind of stuff, short red zone, yeah. Short yardage, especially in the first half. And he says there was a good trade-off of kickoffs and punts. And he talked about how both teams had, you know, 7, 8, 9 play drives that really ends up testing the endurance of your players. So leave it to the Patriots to almost have the perfect storm kind of first preseason game last night, which they obviously won, and you read into how important winning a preseason game is that you want to. But I think that's more than anything what I, you know, that really made me kind of think, yeah, we want to see them. We see the Steelers' first team offense go on a 13-play drive, you know, eat up, you know, 8 minutes on the clock, and it end in a 1 yard, you know, touchdown run by Fitzgerald Toussaint or something like that. But I think a big thing is that I'm kind of hoping for is sort of what the Patriots went through, something where we can see a lot of different players put in a lot of different positions.
Right.
So that's my kind of overall view of what I'm kind of hoping for. Whether or not we get it's yet to be seen. We've seen this time and time again. Sometimes maybe your defense allows the offense to come down on a 8-10 play drive. They score, they kick off, your guy fumbles, or you have a turnover there, and then boom, you know, a quarter and a half's gone, and you haven't even gotten to see anybody play.
Yeah, but the one upside to long drives is you do get to see a guy's conditioning and see how they handle that and see which guys are really in great shape and which guys aren't totally there at football shape yet. And it's a good wake-up call to those players that think they're in football shape but aren't quite there yet, especially those young guys. So, you know, there is an upside to even seeing some of those longer drives. And usually those longer drives do present with some situational football, some third and long, some third and short. You know, some different looks. You're going to get to see different kind of plays and different formations and personnel groupings and pre-snap motions and shifts and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, you like to see that balance, and I'm sure you're going to get it. These games are pretty sloppy, and there ends up kind of being, in a way, some sort of natural ebb and flow. But there's always something to examine. There's always some sort of information situationally to glean out of.
Let's talk about the top five players on offense most excited to see tonight.
Well, I mean, I know we were covering it up as rookies versus non-rookies, so I think for me, offensively, you know, there isn't...
And you can mix these two together for the purpose of this right here, so you don't have to pick a rookie. Now, obviously, you're not going to pick somebody like David DeCastro or somebody like that, but you can mix in a rookie or first, second-year player if you want, as far as we're talking about offense.
Right, right. Well, I think the big guy everyone wants to see is Eli Rogers. I think just from a, you know, moment standpoint, you know, he didn't get to play at all last year. He ended up, you know, getting hurt, breaking his foot before the first game. And, you know, this is a guy that's come a long ways, and I know that this is meaningful to him. Obviously so. It's your first NFL game, and you want to make that positive impact. And obviously he's had a fantastic camp so far. And, you know, you want to see that translate into a stadium because you've never seen it happen before. So we've talked him up as much as you basically can talk up a player, but now it's time to really show it basically to the world, you know, a nationally televised game. So it's a big step for Eli Rogers. It's important to make that good first impression. I'm sure he's going to open up first team slot because I imagine Marcus Wheaton's not going to go today. He's going to be the first team in the punt return game and probably get two or three cracks at it. So it's a big moment for Eli Rogers on a lot of different levels.
Fair to say, here's the five that I have kind of picked out. Grimble, Eli Rogers, B.J. Finney, Dustin Vaughn, and Richardson, the running back.
Daryl Richardson, right. Yeah.
That fair to be a top five?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that seems like a great list. I'm just curious, any particular reason you took Richardson over a Cameron Stingley or Brandon Brown Duke?
Just because I feel that I don't know what I think I know about Richardson. And because
what do you mean by that?
Because I've only seen more bits and pieces of him as far as extended pieces of tape with the Rams. So I want to see him more in pass blocking situations, being as how he's probably, in my opinion, would have the best chance to or the most likeliest chance to be the third running back at this point in time heading into this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah, and hopefully he can break off some big runs today. Running lanes are going to be tough. You know, preseason it usually gets pretty sloppy, so hopefully he's able to get some wiggle room, but it's also important to see how a guy creates his own space, because any running back can get what's blocked. That's easy to do. I want to see you be able to create when the play breaks down and to get positive plays out of what looks like negative gainers off the handoff. So Richardson's a guy with speed to burn, and he should be able to run away from some of these guys.
Let's see. Defensive side of the football. Anthony Ciccolo would have to lead a list when talking about five guys really – really excited to see play. Would it be fair to put a guy like LT Walton in that group of five too?
Yeah, maybe, just because I haven't seen a lot at LT Walton in camp, and I think I wrote about it. I think it's up on Steelers Depot right now about, you know, I haven't learned a lot about him. So yeah, the rough order might be Ciccolo and then Javon Hargrave. And then you could probably mix match Sean Davis, who I want to really get a good feel for, because again, I don't have a great feel for his skill set so far in camp. Then, of course, you know, Medakevich. You could put Walton up there. You know, you might put up a guy like Artie Burns. Well, Artie Burns probably won't play tonight. So, you know, we have so many rookies out. It could be up to four rookies not playing tonight. Sean Davis might not even go if he's still dealing with whatever he got nicked up with at the last practice. But, yeah, I think that's a good list to have.
All right, Garner, obviously part of that list, you think?
Garner, Grant, we have the rumors about Duran Grant moving to safety. I'm not expecting that happening. You know, in today's game, he hasn't taken a snap at safety at all. But, you know, we want to see if he can make that one last-ditch effort to show that he might be able to stick at cornerback.
A guy like Steven Johnson worthy of that list?
He's a veteran guy. I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot about him different than what he's shown in tape in Denver and Tennessee. I just want to see special teams and where guys are lining up, and I want to see exactly who's on, you know, X amount of first-team units and, you know, who's the four-phase guy and things like that. So that's what I'm more curious about with Steven Johnson, and that's whole special teams factor. You know, Sean Davis, where is he going to play? Is he going to be the right wing on punts, and is he going to run down kicks and things like that? So there's a special teams element that you really want to, you know, get familiar with as well.
I want to see some Big Dan tonight too. I don't think we're going to see a lot of them, however.
You don't think? I don't know. I think they need to figure out, you know, who he is.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he can get more than a quarter's worth of action or so.
I just want a nice 8 to 10 play drive with McCullers out there and just see how he looks from play one to play 8 or 9.
Exactly. See those hands go on those hips or whatnot, and doubled over a little bit at times. He supposedly lost a little bit of weight, supposedly a little bit better condition, so we'll definitely see. Obviously everybody's going to be excited about the rookies that dress tonight. We don't think Artie Burns is not going to be one of those. I sure hope Sean Davis can get out there with that knee of his. Obviously Javon Hargrave, that might be the player we're talking the most about on Saturday, right?
I expect him to get a lot of pressure today. So, yeah, definitely he's going to be a guy that hopefully we'll talk highly
about. And we'll have to see about it. It's a shame we're, you know, Gerald Hawkins in that shoulder. Man, just a couple more days if he makes it through. we get to see him. And, you know, of course, who else we got here is going to dress? Matakevich, obviously. DeMarcus Ayers should get some time in this offense, and then on maybe some punt return opportunities as well. Obviously, we're not going to see Travis Feeney in this game, so there'll be definitely some conversation about some of the rookies here. And I want to watch that converted defensive lineman as well too.
I was just going to say, Brian Mahalik, yeah, he should get a lot of play, especially if Hawkins is out. That should move Mahalik up to, I think, second-team right tackle, and he's probably going to finish out the game because there's not, you know, a whole lot else to move around with him. Maybe you end up playing Hubbard to tackle some today because you can get the reps there, you know, in the fourth quarter or something. But yeah, Mahalik, I think he's had a nice camp for the jump he's making and how quickly it's happened. Again, the Lions have a great pass rush, and I want to see some of those, you know, smaller guys and see if they can get under him. But they also have a lot of big ends, too. Guys like Brandon Copeland, who I think is like 6'7" listed or something like that. So, you know, I want to see size on size and see who wins out.
Would you're going back to the offensive five that we chose, would you choose Mahalik or Richardson as the fifth?
I go Mahalik just because I think there's more intrigue, and it's just going to be tough for running backs to create. Last year was pretty bad with the run game, and some, you know, maybe Richardson busts off a couple nice runs, but with the rotation there, I think we're going to get a better feel of the body of work for Brian Mahalik than you are a guy like Daryl Richardson. So I would edge out Mahalik over Richardson.
How much Bruce Gronkowski will we see tonight?
That's a good question. The way it's been going, I want to see who comes in first. I want to see if it's Dustin Vaughn or Bruce Gradkowski, because I think that's still an open-ended question. I mean, I guess conventional wisdom would say Gradkowski, but if it's Dustin Vaughn, then you're like, whoa, this is pretty crazy. So maybe, you know, I don't know if it's going to be that Landry Jones gets the first quarter, Gradkowski gets the second quarter, and Vaughn gets the second half. I mean, it might be that. I'm very anxious to find out.
I guess there's an outside chance Bruce doesn't play at all tonight, huh?
It would surprise me to not play at all, but the Jets didn't play Christian Hackenberg, their second-round pick, so I suppose anything is possible.
I'd like your scenario of Jones in maybe a quarter and a half. Okay. Gronkowski to close out the first half and maybe the first drive of the third quarter. of the second half, and then then turn it over to Dustin Vaughn the rest of the game.
Yeah. Do you know the one defensive matchup that I hope we get to see a little bit? And it might not be for too many snaps tonight, but the one that I would love to see just for 5 to 6 snaps is Sean Davis against Anquan Boldin in the slot. Talk about your first matchup. You know, instead of going against the rookie undrafted kid like for Sean Davis, you're facing a veteran who's as crafty as anyone in Anquan Boldin. So I hope we get a couple matchups there just to really send out a good test for Sean
Davis.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Well, whatever they throw at us tonight, we'll be there watching it, and we're going to chart them, and we're going to cut up the tape on them all through the weekend here. So we hope that you follow along with us. We will have game first and second half game threads going tonight on Steelers Depot with the great Matthew Marksey keeping those things alive. So we invite everybody to join us on the site for that. If you follow me on Twitter or Alex on Twitter, at Steelers Depot and at Alex_Kozora, I'm sure there'll be a GIF or two posted maybe throughout the night as well, too. So we definitely invite you to follow along the next couple of days with us as we recap the Steelers' first preseason game against the Detroit Lions. Alex, anything else to add about this upcoming game?
Nope, just enjoy it. I know Steelers Nation will, and be happy that football is back.
I agree. And, Alex, you'll be back out at Latrobe on Sunday, I believe. Following that practice, you'll of course, be filing your recap report and then hopping on with me for a special edition of the Terrible Podcast with training camp winding down. All right, folks, that's going to do it. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back on Sunday night with Alex Kozora on a special edition of the Terrible Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Follow Alex Kozora at Alex_Kozora. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com. You'll see the donate button up there in the navigational bar, up in that black navigational bar. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.